I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is a great day. This is a good day to be in the presence of Almighty God. And I want to welcome to this the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. We are excited that you have decided to be with us here today via Facebook Live or through the call-in on TTLO Radio. We are excited about these two platforms where you can listen or view our services live. Good morning, Ebenezer. Good morning to the rest of our Facebook Pew members. We are excited, and we pray that God blesses you real good being in this place and in this space. We continue during this season of challenge, during this season of new opportunities. We recognize that things are not as they were before, but we are grateful that the Lord is still on the throne. If you believe that this morning, why don't you send me a message in the chat space on our Facebook Live platform. We are excited. Let us know that you are there. Let us know that you are worshiping with us. Say good morning to your fellow members this morning as we gather collectively in this worship space. We will sanctify our spaces holy because we know that God is with us. He is with us right now, and we know God is going to bless you real good being with us in this service. Praise the Lord, saints. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor this morning. Please share our worship service. Go right down there to the share button on your Facebook Live page and share that with your friends. Share that with your family members. Let us enlarge our territory for the glory of God. Come on, come on, come on. Go ahead, hit that share. Go on, hit that share right now. Right now, share that button. Hit that share button. Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah. At this time, we will read our scripture this morning. Before we bring the word of God, we have several persons that we want to remember in prayer who are asking for prayer this morning. We're remembering in prayer today, Janie Burns. We're remembering our beloved senior couple, Mr. and Mrs. Billups, brother Mr. Brown. We're remembering Sister Betty Smith, a longtime member of Ebenezer, who lives now in California, who was hospitalized this week. We're remembering our member, Virgiline Daniels, who's requesting prayer. And we're lifting up right now Sister Maxine Tolliver in prayer as well. Let us go to God in prayer. We invoke his presence and spirit in this place. Eternal God, our Father, we are so grateful. We are grateful, God, to be in this place and this space once more and again. God, we're coming grateful because we know that you woke us up this morning. And we are mindful that you didn't have to do it, but you did. God, we have many people that are requesting prayer right now. Some, Lord, are requesting prayer, who have ailments and issues that they are wrestling with. Some are sick among us, God, but we know that the good news is that you are a healer, that you can touch our bodies and make us whole. Remembering, oh God, all of those who are sick among us, the names that were uttered this morning. Remembering Sister Bernetta Pearson right now, who was just released from the hospital, and we're lifting her in prayer. God, we come this morning thanking you for this church, thanking you, oh God, for this station of Zion. God, you have been good to Ebenezer, and God, you have been blessing us for over 118 years, 118 years of ministry and 118 years of souls being saved and the gospel being lifted for all that has occurred, all that has happened. Lord, we say thank you. God, we're thanking you for you have kept us through this pandemic thus far. God, we know that it seems like each day is like Groundhog's Day. It's happening the same way over and over again. We're doing some of the same things every single day. But God, we are mindful that every day that passes, every day that we see new mercies. And for that, oh God, we are grateful. God, we ask right now that you'll be in the midst of this worship service, that we pray, oh God, that something that will be said or sung will speak to the needs of those who have gathered online and on the telephone. Something will be said, will lift their spirits today. God, we need a word from you. And we know, God, that the preacher can't preach unless you send him and unless you give him a rhema word. God, thank you for this day. Be in the midst of the balance of this service, so that you might get the glory and the honor. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Our scripture reading is taken from Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, reading down through the 18th verse. There you will find these words recorded. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. The word of God for the people of God, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to join with us as we sing together. I know you at home, but I want to hear you through Facebook Live. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. That's an old hymn of the church. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took my master's hand and I joined the Christian band. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, and I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I left my friends and kindred bound for the promised land. The grace of God upon me, the Bible in my hand. In distant lands I trod, crying, sinner, come to God. I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Put your hands together. For my Lord, promise would serve him. For my, now let me get a little instrumental. Come on, come on. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Amen, amen. Before our music ministry comes to begin, I just want to make mention to our members, to the members of the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We are asking that you would send in the name of anyone that you know that desires to be on our prayer list. We want to update our prayer list, and we have been making phone calls, but we want to make certain that our name, our prayer list, and the names on the prayer list are accurate. So if you would do be so kind, the call of the church, you have the number of the church, 773-373-6144. So that we might update our prayer list. You can leave a voice message with our church clerk and we can get our sick list updated. And we pray, we are prayerful that you would follow those instructions. Amen. Amen. At this time, our music ministry will come and bless us this morning. Start walking. Start walking. Hope for all I do.
the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. And sadness, you're the laughter that shatters all my fear. When I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. My contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You are why I find pleasure in the simple things in life. You're the music in the meadows. The voices of the children, my family in my home. You're the source and finish of my highest dream.
Grateful to God that God is indeed the center of our joy. We thank our brother Eric Hill for rendering that to us to that day. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves. I said we need to remind ourselves the center of our joy is not found in what's in our bank account. The center of our joy is not found in the relationships we have with each other. The center of our joy is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Because somebody said he woke me up this morning. And because you got up, you ought to be happy. You ought to be excited. You ought to be filled with joy because the Lord lets you see another day. A day that you have never seen before, and a day that you will never see again. And sometimes we have to be reminded of just how good God has been. Is there a witness out there that God has been good? God has been better than good. Can I get two or three people just to chat in the comment section that God has been good, that God has made a way in spite of all that we have experienced? He's been good. He's been better than good. Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah in this place. Yes, yes, yes. He is the center of our joy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. At this time of our worship experience, this is an opportunity for you to participate in the worship through giving. And what we like to say here at Ebenezer, we're asking you to just pray, to pray on what you should do, what seed you should sow. Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church members know their responsibilities. We are a tithing church, tithes and offering. And in order to support the ministry and the work that happens here at Ebenezer, we need your support. And so we're asking that you just pray to the Lord right now and you ask the Lord what you should do in this hour to bless this work and this ministry here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. You can go to the text to give. You can use text to give to share your tithes and offering, or you can go to our website and go to EbenezerBronzeville.org and you can click that give button. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way. You can put a stamp on the envelope. You can put a check in the mail and send it off. Or you can stop by the church and drop it off in our mailbox. However you choose to do that, we encourage you to support the work in ministry here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. Amen.
same, don't let them ride. Stay with me. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Come on.
Thank you to all of you who are supporting the work and ministry here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. At this time, I'd like to just make mention that we are very, very pleased to have bringing the word today Minister Dr. Dana L. King, who has been an associate assistant minister here at Ebenezer prior to my arrival. And has been working very hard as well to help further the ministry and the work here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. He's also been working very hard in helping us get our message out via technology, through the media, through our Facebook Live, soon to be YouTube, and others. Many of you are able to hear him on TTLO Radio during the week. It is one of the few gospel-based radio shows on the internet, and because of all that he has done, we are having some very, very challenging topics brought to bear in our community. We are expecting a mighty word from the Lord today. And we are excited what the Lord is going to do through him this morning. So after our organist will have played, the next speaking voice you will hear will be that of Minister Dana L. King.
Somebody sitting at home know this song. Come on. I'm crying, say. Come on, come on, come on, sing it.
Come on, call him.
I'm crying, while on others thou art holy. Do not pass me by.
We could just stay there for a moment. But Father God, we welcome you into this place. Lord God, we ask that you would move me out of the way during this preaching moment and not let me be seen, but let you be seen. Not my words, but your words. Let your will be done in this place. Lord God, and at the end of this message, if you deem it so, God, let someone who does not know you in the pardon of their sin come to the throne of grace asking, what shall I do to be saved? We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture text, and I'm going to ask the musicians, don't go too far. Don't go too far. Our scripture text this morning comes again from the book of Philippians, the second chapter. The book of Philippians, the second chapter, starting at the 12th verse. Again, the book of Philippians, the second chapter, starting at the 12th verse. Pastor already read this. I'll just give it to you one more time. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. 18 says, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. The word of God is already blessed. For a few moments this morning, I want to simply talk about when God works in you. When God works in you. This particular scripture and passage came about sometime around Wednesday evening, in between or right after Bible study, based off of some of the conversations that were going on in our Bible study class. And then, if anything, some of it came from the fact that as I was praying to God, asking him, what should I say? What would you have me to say? He said, just look around you and see how I work in you, even at a time like this. So as I pondered and started to write and type and type and retype and then delete and type and then delete again, and then all the way up until 4 o'clock this morning, I'm sitting here saying, okay, Lord, I can't type no more. We gonna go with what you gave me. So as I sat around, I wondered and I thought about it. I said, what can we all discuss? What can we all talk about? What can we all sit and listen to that we would have a connection to this morning? And I thought about driving up and down the Dan Ryan and all of the other expressways and highways that lead into this city we call Chicago. During this pandemic, one of the things that I noticed is that some things had to be rapidly changed. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, that man's advancements during this time have moved at a rapid pace. We've seen hospitals built in 3 weeks. We've seen staging set up in certain areas that were made for events that have been turned into 4,000 bedroom hospitals in a matter of weeks. These fast-paced changes have necessitated the constructions of new facilities and countless other projects. I was recently struck, though, driving up and down the highway when I was viewing a sign that all of us have become so familiar with while driving in Chicago. It's a sign that says this everywhere you go, construction ahead. I know, right? You can't go nowhere around this city and not see a sign that says
construction ahead. Old school sign used to just say men at work. Y'all know it. But as I pondered this thought, I realized it's a deeper significance. I realized that the sign was there for obvious reasons. Men were working, and we needed to be warned to take caution while they were working. But see, here is the deal. The purpose of the sign, watch this now, was to prevent both the men and ourselves from being injured. But as I thought a little deeper, I realized these signs had a deeper significance. The sign was also there to prevent both the delay of the project and interference with the project. You see, in essence, those who placed the sign were trying to tell us, please don't get in the way of the work that's being done. That'll hit you a little later. Yeah. They were saying, please cooperate with the work that's being done. But then I dug a little deeper. A further attention and insight caused me to think of these words, construction ahead or men at work. This simply implies or it suggests a purpose, a goal, or an objective or aim that men were working towards a predetermined goal or task. It also let us know that they were actively engaged, that they were building something, that they were making something different, that they were changing things. They were enhancing the functioning capacity of something. They were making things more efficient and effective. There were men and women working. Then I thought a little deeper. I said, well, how does this relate to God? Man is created in the image and likeness of God. Every good thing, come on now, every good thing done by man is nothing but a shadow of what God does. Therefore, if man works, then he can only be mimicking what God does. And at first I thought, well, maybe that couldn't be the case because, see, in Genesis 2 and 2, he said this. He says, the Bible says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all which he had done. But see, what I found out, my brothers and sisters, is that this text teach after creation? Does it teach that when God got done with creation, that he was done working? Does it teach us that when he was done with that he became inactive? Let me help you with something today. You can take this one home with you. Rest does not mean inactivity. Rest does not mean inactivity. See, the rest in this passage signified a completion of his present task. See, further support that God is at work is revealed in our primary text. Paul said clearly that God is at work. And see, the significance of the truth is found in the context of the passage. The Apostle Paul, I believe, writes from, y'all know where he was. He was in a Roman prison, and he writes to his beloved church in Philippi, and a church that was founded on his missionary journey. He writes to inform them of his situation. He writes to exhort them. He writes to comfort them. He writes to instruct them. He writes to even warn them. In the immediate context, Paul is instructing them on how to relate to one another. He has just given them the highest example of humility in the person of Jesus Christ. As the Bible tells us, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Church, Paul goes on to speak concerning the exaltation of Christ. Though he was humbled to the point of shameful death, yet he exalted God and he let people know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. I only got a few points this morning. I'm going to get through them and we can get up out of here. My first point this morning is, because we're talking about God working in us, is work with cooperation. Yeah, this for somebody's church. It just hit me. Right? Work with cooperation. Yeah. You need a little help. I got you. Philippians 2. Let's walk the scripture. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. He said, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. The exaltation of Christ as Lord, let me get this for you, it serves as a chief motivation for cooperative work. Can we work together? Can we build together? Can we grow together? Yeah. In the Greek, I had a lot of time on my hands, y'all. In the Greek, the word translated obeyed means to conform or to heed a command or authority. Now, when I thought of the sign saying construction ahead or men at work, God gave me another insight. The sign was usually accompanied by other signs, you know, with warnings such as reduced speed ahead. You know. But in most cases, there was nobody there to enforce compliance. This is going to get you in a minute. See, this is taking place with Paul. Paul commends the Philippians for their obedience, but at the same time, he exhorts them to continue in obedience. See, he understands the tendency for us to misbehave and disobey when the authority figure is not around. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying just because you're not in the physical church building doesn't mean your duties to the church have to lax. Just because you don't come to church in the building every Sunday doesn't mean that you still shouldn't have a relationship with God. Matter of fact, I'll make it personal. It ought to get better between you and God because there is no outside interference. You know, the people that you come to church and frown up at and look at real funny, you don't see them no more. So now what's your excuse for not praising and worshiping God? What's your excuse for not praying to him? What's your excuse for not worshiping him? What's your excuse for not giving him the glory he so richly deserves? We know this. As an educator, one of the things I always recognize is that students tend to become real disobedient and unruly when the teacher is absent. Y'all know this. And children, if your parents in the room, children tend to become disobedient when their parents are absent. And drivers, I'm talking about me, I ain't talking about none of y'all. Drivers tend to become disobedient when there are no state troopers on the road. You know, I love my GPS because it tells me where all the speed cameras are. And so, you know, I can be doing a speed. Police be watching. I drive a black BMW, just in case. Just in case they look. Yeah. But here is the situation. Just because the authority figure is not there does not mean or give me the right to be disobedient. However, Paul tells them, he says, in the immediate absence of the authority figure, it should not mean we should be less obedient. Matter of fact, it should mean that we should be even more obedient. See, Paul was not their ultimate authority figure. Just like in the church, the pastor is not your ultimate authority figure. And just because you do what you do and he don't see you, don't mean that he don't see you. Okay, all right. See, disobedience, watch this. Disobedience really means a failure to cooperate. Disobedience is saying no to God. Yeah. Disobedience is saying you don't care about God's plan. You say, well, what do you mean disobedient? Disobedient can mean something as simple as getting here whenever you feel like it. Disobedience means paying tithes whenever you feel like it. Disobedience could be praising God when you feel like it. But see, I heard an old preacher a long time ago say, you only praise God two times, when you feel like it and when you don't. I didn't hear a way out in that option. See, disobedience is saying, I'd rather do it my way. Disobedience says, my way is better than his way. But Paul says this to them in the scripture. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, Paul does not say this. He doesn't say work for salvation. That's another religion that's got folks confused, thinking they can work for their salvation. Let me help you this morning. There is nothing you can do that would ever qualify you for salvation. That price was paid on the cross some 2,000 years ago. See, to work out your own salvation, here is the word, means to cooperate with what God is doing as it relates to your salvation. In the Greek, the word means to fully accomplish, or to finish. A healthy and holy reverent fear of God should always motivate us, cooperate with the Lord in salvation. Then Paul goes and uses this term, and you always look at it funny when you read it, fear and trembling. That means that should be the description of our response to sin. We should be afraid and we should be trembling anytime we are disobedient to the word of God. But I like what Paul says in the text. He says, God is at work in us. As I studied this text, I discovered something interesting in verses 12 with the word work. This word work, he uses the word work twice, once in verse 12 and again in verse 13. Y'all, please get there. He says this. He says while Paul used one word to describe our work and then a different word to describe God's work. Come on now, watch this. I'm going to help you. See, the word used to describe God's work is the Greek word called energo. Energo, and it means to be active, it means to be efficient, it means to be effectual, it means to be fervent or mighty. And we get the English word, the word we use, energy, from the word energo. But Paul describes the enablement to carry out the exhortation as being furnished by God himself. This is what he says. God does, watch this, and you can take this home, and Tanya, let me tell you right now, this is a T-shirt, so get it ready at some point. God does not demand of us what we cannot do. I'll say that again. God does not demand of us what we cannot do. Come on now. Furthermore, the provision from God takes into account for every need. It's not enough, watch this now, to will something, because good intentions sometimes are not always carried out. But see, Paul sees the believers as having a will that's energized by God and then also having the power and the work supplied by him. In other words, church, God is the energy that is in us. He is the force. He is the strength. He is the potency behind all of the work we do. If God ain't in it, then maybe we shouldn't be doing it either. Because let's be honest. In order for my computer to work, it needs a source of energy. In order for my body to work, it needs a source of energy, mainly calories, but it needs the source of energy. In order for my automobile to work, it needs a source of energy. In order for the air conditioner or the furnace to work in your house, it must have an energy source. Without energy, these things become useless. Do you understand what the text is saying? God is actively energizing us in at least two ways. He energizes us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Come on now, but to will and to do for his good pleasure. Without the supply of God's energy and activity within us, there would be no desire for us to do good, neither for him or with him. And I don't know about you, but we can never take credit for the good work, because it was God's energy that supplied us to perform it and the deed and power to execute it. That's why when you get done singing or you get done preaching and they say, oh, you preached a mighty word, or oh, you sang a great song, I say, well, they don't ever tell me I sung a great song. But if they say, oh, you preached a good message, I say, it wasn't me, it was God. See, we got to make sure we give him credit, because he is the one who gives us the energy to accomplish what he would have us to do. Therefore, church, you should work cooperatively with God by obeying the authority, his authority that he has placed in our lives. And Ebenezer, I want to make it real clear. There is no excuse for our disobedience, because God has given us both the desire and the power to accomplish it. And we must always acknowledge his presence at any time we're doing his work. We should always acknowledge him, especially when you enter into his sanctuary. Just like the Energizer Bunny, we just need to keep going and going and going. All right, let's go, let's go. Point number two, We talked about working cooperatively. Here is one, and this one is just for me. I knew the Lord was talking to me then. Watch this. Work without complaint. Work without complaint. This hit me late because I was reminded on Friday that school starts Monday. And the complaint came out right away. It work without complaint. I tried to type something else. God said, no, no, Negro, I'm talking to you. Work without complaint. Without complaint. Philippians 2, 14 and 16 says this. I'm just walking the scripture. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. And then he says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have I labored in vain. This work, this word of God, this energetic work of God within us should lead to work without complaint. The attitude in which we work should be accompanied with a joyful spirit. I know sometimes it's hard to get up and go where you need to go. I know even on Sunday morning, sometimes it's hard to get up and come to church. But if you go and dig deep into verses 12 and 13, the focus was on the individual work. Mm-hmm. Work out your own salvation. But in this verse, the focus is on a group. And the implication is, watch this, that you can't work together until you can work individually. Come on now, watch this. You can be on the best team in the world. But if you're an individual that's only about self, if you don't do your part, you ain't hurt the entire team. Come on now, come on now. Men I'm thinking about these signs on the highway. When you see men working on a construction project, they must display their ability to work independently. And they all can't be at the same place at the same time. But each one must be trustworthy to do his or her individual job. Let me help you. You know, sometimes as you're driving through those construction sites, a lot of times you see a lady holding up the sign saying, slow down. And you may not think that job is important, but it is. Because, see, her job directly affects their job. Because if she ain't telling you to slow down, then you speed through and possibly cause an accident or incident, and then you stop the whole project. So it's important for, watch this, the person who's going to be holding the sign, guess what? They probably need to get there first. That person can't be late. Right? That person don't get to be late, right? Because, see, if he's late or she's late, then everything is delayed. Could you imagine coaching a football team and the team is out on the field, but the coach is on the other side of town? Okay, that'll hit you later. If you are a painter, a painter should not complain and murmur about having to paint. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the chaos if members of a construction team are complaining and bickering about one another? This happens too often in the church. We all have the same mindset, but because you won't do your job, you have the nerve to complain about other people. Well, maybe you ought to look in the mirror first. Maybe you ought to say, well, wait a minute, am I doing what I'm supposed to do before I start fishing around making sure you're doing what you're supposed to do? How am I going to come over here and tell you how to count the money when I ain't giving no money? Okay, I'm gonna stay in my spot. I'm gonna stay in my lane. See, much like those disagreements, these are the case in a lot of our congregations. See, in many cases, we're like children. Mm-hmm. We can't work independently, therefore we can't work together. We complain and we murmur for all types of reasons. We never murmur and complain about ourselves, but we'll point the finger and say what you didn't do right. But if the truth were to be told, we should be too busy to complain and dispute. People who are busy working for the Lord have neither the time nor the energy to complain. You see, no good deed should be accompanied with a complaint. And if you find it necessary to complain, then maybe it's best that you not do the deed. Don't come to church talking about, well, they don't never, I can't get them to play what I want them to play. Well, maybe you shouldn't be here. Well, they won't, he won't preach my scripture. Well, maybe you need, well, guess what? It's 100 other, it's 3,000 other churches in Chicago. One of them preachers is going to preach your scripture. But we find a reason to complain about everything. Now, watch this. Paul next gives a reason why he doesn't want the Philippians to complain. And there are two general reasons in the scripture that he doesn't want. The first reason involves their appearance before others, and the second has to do with Paul's rejoicing. You see, there should be no room for reproach from the world in which we live. Paul says that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. What Paul is saying is there should be no hint of blemishes. Murmuring and disputing, none of those things should be there. None of those things should exist. How can we proclaim to experience God's peace if there is no peace among us? How you going to say, peace be unto you, and you got all type of hell in you? How you going to tell somebody, I'm praying for you, but you won't even pray for yourself? How you going to tell somebody, well, you need to calm down, but then you always on 10? Oh, okay. How can we claim to be God's children if we're not imitators of God? You see, in a time like this, with moral blackness and all the things that are going on and immorality, even in the White House, we should be standing out like stars in midnight if we call ourselves the children of the King. See, the Word tells us that believers are the possessors of Christ. You shine, regardless of what everybody else is doing. You shine. You see, children of God, we're told to shine, but we're reminded, watch this, you shouldn't have to be told to shine. You should be reminded that you're already shining. You were blood washed a long time ago. So nobody should have to remind you to shine. You should already be shining. Nobody should have to pump you up or pat you on the back to do God's work. Nobody should have to say, well, can I get a hallelujah out of you? Can I beg you for an amen, brother? Can I get a glory? Can I get a thank you, Jesus, from you? No. That should already be down on the inside of you. You don't have to pump and prime me, because all I got to do is think about the goodness. Come on now. Paul goes on a little further, and we got it where he says, holding fast to the word of life. This means that we should share the gospel. We talk often on our Bible studies on Wednesday about being an evangelist, about sharing our testimony. We should become a medium for those who cannot see. We should be a guide for those who do not know their direction. We should be a guide to bring people closer to God. Let me help you with something. See, I can't get you to salvation. My job is not to get you to, my job is not to usher in the Spirit of God. But my job is to point you in the direction to where he is. And see, all you got to do is recognize, don't look for the preacher for salvation. Don't look to the pastor for salvation. Don't look to the musicians for salvation. You need to look to him. And a lot of times we find out that it ain't the preacher that's in the way. It's us that's in the way. Paul's second reason was his own desire to rejoice at Christ's return, knowing he was running his race and that his labor was not in vain. All right, so we talked about working cooperatively. We talked about working without complaint. My last point, I'll sit down, is work with celebration. Work with celebration. Philippians 2, again, come on, y'all, walk with me through the scripture. Philippians 2, 17, 18 says, yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. In that particular text, Paul speaks concerning the possibility of a martyr's death. His life is still weighed in the balance. A trial was to come. There was a certain possibility that Paul might be convicted and sentenced to die. But even in this time, Paul considers his life as an offering to the Lord. Paul has no regrets. I don't know about you, but if you've been in church for a while, this is not a time or a place to have regrets when it comes to your work for the Lord. You should say, you know what, whatever I did for God, I did it, I own it, I'm going to walk in it. Walk, as I told Pastor Person the first time he got here after he was installed, walk in your authority and have no regrets. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I have no regrets for what I've done. Paul says he would gladly give himself for the Philippians because he meant, if it meant a service towards their faith. Meaning, Paul said, I would gladly lay down my life if it helped you increase your faith. Ebenezer, God is giving us a message. And this text has come full circle. Let me illustrate for you. See with the scenario again of the construction workers. See, the men are working individually and cooperatively toward a predetermined goal. And in order to achieve this task, men must work together. And working together means having the proper attitude as one works. But the result of the work done by men, watch this now, is done, watch this, not just for God, but it also benefits others. For instance, take that same highway, that same expressway. The men not only worked on it for themselves, but it worked for the benefit of others. Don't you see what I'm trying to tell you this morning, church? This is the simple truth of this text. When we work cooperatively together with the energetic activity of God, it moves us to obedience. When we then work cooperatively together without complaining and without murmuring, these are the things that give us an opportunity to experience the light of God. And at the end of the cycle, we are all able to rejoice together. Because, see, church, I'm about to take my seat, but when God goes to work, whew, wonderful things happen. God went to work in creation. Come on, y'all know the story. He went to work in creation, and the circle of the earth was formed. When God went to work, the waters in the deep were dug. When God went to work, the stars were thrown against the dark canvas of the light. You see, when God went to work, insects begin to crawl. When God went to work, the birds began to fly. When God went to work, this thing called gravity held it all together. When God goes to work, the trees and the fruit come forth. See, when God goes to work, the oxygen begins to flow. When God goes to work, mountains take shape. But see, the title of the scripture, the title of the sermon, God working in us. So when God goes to work in people, we become better. Yeah. When God goes to work in people, we become wiser. When God goes to work in people, we become stronger. When God goes to work in people, we become holy. When God goes to work in us, we become righteous. When God goes to work in us, the guilty become innocent. I'm helping somebody today. When God goes to work, the sinner is forgiven. You see, when God goes to work, the hungry are fed. When God goes to work, the cold are comforted. When God goes to work, battles are won. When God goes to work, come on now, burdens are lifted. When God goes to work, diseases are cured. When God goes to work, promises are kept. When God goes to work, sin is conquered. When God goes to work, when God goes to work, even your critics are silenced. When God goes to work, your families are made strong. When God goes to work, problems are eliminated. And when God goes to work in you and in me, lives are transformed. When God goes to work in us. Ebenezer, if I don't say anything else to you, I long to see every member of this church allow God to work in us. That way we can see the work of God in all of our lives. God bless you, church. God bless you, church. The word of God is already blessed. It's already blessed. You come up here. It's already blessed. My God, y'all come on, man, wherever you are, if you're still listening or watching right now,
feel free to, if you're out of a church, if you've been out of a relationship for a while, this is your opportunity to step back in and say, Lord, I want to renew my relationship with you.
Find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are.
Come on, this is your opportunity.
Across the hottest desert, I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. Find favor in your sight, Lord. I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. Gotta be where you are. I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I want to be where you are.
Hallelujah. I want to be where you are.
Yes,
for your glory. That's just it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be nowhere that God ain't. And if you're anywhere that God ain't, maybe you don't not be there anymore. So look, take a look at your surroundings. And take a look at who you hang out with. And take a look at the places you frequent. And look around all of these different circumstances. And take a look and say, is God here? Because if he's here, I want to be where he is. But if he's not here, maybe I need to change my thinking. Maybe I no longer need to be there. Maybe I just need to be where he is. I like that. That's the part where it just says, I want to be where you are, my God, today.
We have had an awesome time today. We thank you so much. As the pastor gets ready to come back to the podium, keep in mind of our keep in mind of our Bible study every Wednesday. Prayer starts at 6:15 on our Zoom Bible study. If you don't have the information, it's always on the calling post. But our Zoom Bible study starts at 6:15. Prayer starts at 6:15, and Bible study starts at 6:30.
Praise the Lord for the word today. Praise the Lord. We thank God for Minister King for lifting the word today. Thank you, Joy Binion, for sharing him with us today. We just want to make mention, as before we, I will invite Minister King to give the benediction. We just want to make mention that y'all keep playing that. I'm feeling that. We are still hopeful that we as a faith community will be able to open in person. But we are watching, getting the news reports. We are in contact with the mayor's office. We have to do this safely. But one of the things that we were talking about doing that we want to do for the first Sunday in September, we are hoping to at least the first Sunday in September have drive-by communion. And so we will be giving you the details to be coming out very, very soon. Myself and Minister King and our deacons will be out front. Many members have said they would love to do that, would love to experience that. You don't have to do that, but we are certainly giving you an opportunity we want to give that opportunity to you. And so we'll be giving you details in the weeks to come on how we're going to do this and when we're going to do this. But we're looking at hopefully the first Sunday in September for drive-by communion. And then hopefully as we watch these numbers, maybe we'll be getting the infection rate will be going down, and we'll be able to revisit in-person worship. But this ought to be an indicator to you how serious this is. Even the Chicago Public School is recognizing, and other school districts are recognizing, that it's not yet safe to congregate in large groups. And so they are going to remote learning so that children and teachers and custodians and principals and administrators are not infected with this disease. I know that this has been cumbersome. I know this has been difficult, but we are called to be wise. Not fearful, but wise and using wisdom. And that's what we will be doing. So you'll be hearing more about that, something we've never done before, but we are excited about providing this ministry opportunity to our faith community and the community at large. Thank you, Minister King, for bringing the word today. We are prayerful that you all will be joining us again on this coming Wednesday for Bible study. Come on, Minister King, and pray us out.
Amen. As always, I'm always grateful for every pulpit opportunity because I recognize that God does not have to allow it, but that he does. And for that, I am eternally, eternally grateful. Let us go to the throne in grace. Father God, we thank you for this time that we had today. Lord God, we thank you for allowing us again to come into your place of worship. And God, we ask that you would continue to do the things necessary, God, so that we may increase our faith and that you continue to work in us in everything we do. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the all-wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Come on, come on.
where you are. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my king. I want to be where you are.